And it now gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker for the evening, George B. from Warm Springs.
My name's George, I'm an alcoholic. And that Warm Springs kind of a joke to me and my buddy. Actually, I live in Lake Elsinore, but there's a little suburb there called Warm Springs, and that's where I live, so I like that better, so I use that. I want to congratulate everybody on their tokens and the cake. That's great. Keep coming back. You know, I became an alcoholic, I think, from drinking. I think that's what caused it. And, you know, you guys can laugh at anything I say. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know, I'm glad to be up here. You know, there's no place I'd rather be than be here at this meeting. You know, I'm with my own kind here. When I'm out there, sometimes I get a little lost, and I get to an AA meeting, and I feel at home. You know, just like my sponsor says, he said, I learned how to live in a room full of drunks, and that's what's happened to me. And I'm grateful, and I'm sober. You know, I was thinking, you know, I don't have anything against drinking, and I don't have anything against anybody that drinks. It's just that I can't drink. I cannot drink. And you know, I asked myself, you know, I'm a long way from where I started out from. And you know, I asked myself what I'm doing here, you know, sometimes, but I know what I'm doing here. And, you know, all I have to offer is my experience in my story and what happened to me in my life, you know. And it's my story, and it's about my life, and if it's boring to you, that's okay. If you think it's funny, that's okay. But it's what happened to me, and that's what I can share with you, because that's all I have. And, you know, probably my association with alcohol probably started before I was born, if that makes sense to anybody, but I can tell you how that kind of came about. I was born in Kansas. You can tell I might have a little accent. I don't know, but anyway, I come from Kansas. The reason I'm in California is about 15 years ago, I'm sitting in a bar with a guy from Puerto Rico named Milford. We're having a few, and he said, I think we ought to move to California, and I said, it seemed like a good idea to me. So that's how I got out here. But anyway, I was born in this little town back in Kansas, and there was always something different that I felt about the way our family was and the way I was treated. You know, some of it I just thought it was that way, and some of it was real, you know. And as I got older, I found out that before I was born, and a little while after, way back in those days, they had a prohibition era. Then they had, after the prohibition, they had dry counties and dry states, and people liked to drink. And it just happened to be my daddy was the guy that would make the deliveries. So my father was a bootlegger. And I didn't know about that until I got older. And I used to wonder why some of the kids treated me the way they did. Well, you know, I didn't know that when I went and started school that I was that old bootlegger's kid. So I got in a lot of fights, and I didn't know why. But that doesn't make any difference. That isn't what made me an alcoholic. That's just part of my story where I came from. And, you know, my father never talked to me about it, but to be real honest with you, I was kind of proud of the old man for what he done. There's an old car sitting in a ditch back there with a bunch of bullet holes in it where the Internal Revenue chased him out of Kansas City, and some guy showed me that, you know. So that's kind of some of my childhood memories. You know, I remember my first drink. I went down to the basement, and there was a case of Budweiser, them long-necked Budweisers. And I was about 12 or 13 years old. And I took that bottle of beer, and I took it out in the barn, and I went up there, and it was hot. The beer was hot, and the day was hot. And I drank that bottle of beer, and I just loved the way that felt. I loved that feeling. You know, after that, I loved everything about drinking, and I loved the people that drank. I wanted to be around places. I liked the smell of those old stinky pool halls and beer joints. I liked that stuff. And, you know, I'd go get a job or something working on the farm, and I didn't figure, back then a quarter beer cost 50 cents. So when I'd make a dollar, I said, that's two beers. I didn't say I made a dollar. I said, I'm making two beers. I counted my money in beers. And on Saturday night, I remember when I first started drinking, after that first beer, I could just go buy a quart. And back then, the quarts came with, looked like a big oil can with a screw top in the center. And I only needed to drink one of them, and I got to where I wanted to go. Then I got to where I needed two. Then I needed three. And then, and you know, instead of participating in school and things, you know, I'd rather hang. We only had one beer joint, little town. We had one beer joint. So that's where I wanted to be, and that's where I hung out. And I'd go down there and get drunk any time I could. You know, back there, they didn't care about your age. I was always underage. And then one night, me and this one guy, we drank a little too much, I guess. And so we decided after the place closed, we'd just go back inside after everybody went home. We broke into the place. And he was a thief, but I was just with him, you see. But my dream was to go back in there and drink beer out of that spigot without the glass. Just hold my mouth and just drink the beer. And he stole a bunch of stuff. And anyway, we got caught the very next morning. So that was the... And I went to jail for a few days, and I almost went to prison over that, but I got out of it. But I never related that to drinking. I just said I was drunk or I wouldn't have done it. That's how, that's why I figured things, you know. Anyway. So, by then I'd quit school. I think I was 16 years old, going on 17 by then. And I'd already been drinking pretty heavy for a couple of years, I guess. And so it was decided amongst all the people around there that maybe I ought to join the Navy. That'd be a good place for a guy that drinks. So I got in the Navy and I came out here to San Diego. And I got through boot camp all right, and I got home okay the first time, and I got back. And I got to my ship. And then we made our first trip overseas. The first liberty that I got in Sasebo, Japan, I got over there and it was like being in heaven. It was all the booze and everything else that goes with it. And I just couldn't go back that same day or the next day or the next day. I had to have about 3 days of it. I was only supposed to be gone a day, so I was over the hill for a couple of days. But I really wouldn't have done that if I hadn't been drinking. But I can remember waking up thinking I ought to go back to the ship, but I had something there to drink, and I'd just have a few more drinks, and then it would be okay. And I'd wake up again, I think, boy, I ought to go back. Well, a few more drinks, and it was okay not to go back. Well, anyway, I got one liberty out of that whole year. We went to all these foreign ports, and I had to stay aboard ship all that time. But I never related that to being an alcoholic. I just said, well, you know, I got too drunk or whatever. So I got a little smarter after that. You know, I'd get drunk and get back to the ship on time. But it seemed like I kept getting in a little bit of trouble all the time, and it'd always be from drinking. And in my sick mind, I said, you know, I got to get out of this service. I said, there's too many drunks in here, so I don't want to stay. So I got out. So... You know, I went to this trade school. I wasn't in that school but about a week, and it was back in by Chicago. And darn it, we just didn't have a few one night, and the cops picked us up, and I got put in jail. So I had to call my dad to bail me out of jail, you know. So I get out of there, and anyway, I go to work. But I never relate any of this stuff to being an alcoholic, and I could always just say to myself, you know, I was just having a good time. But, you know, I got to kind of go back all my life and during all of these things that I'm talking about. You know, I never really felt right. I never felt like I fit any place. I just never felt right about the world. I just felt different somehow. I guess I was different. You know, the first time I was asked to lead an AA meeting about 10 years ago, there were about 6 or 8 people in this room. I got so scared, I got up and went home. I called the guy up. I said, I can't handle all them people. And I have to give myself a little credit that I have grown from that so I can come here. And that's growth for me, so everybody has their own way of growing. But I remember the first AA meeting I went to. You know, I didn't get sober the first time I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because I wasn't quite sure. I wasn't quite sure if I was an alcoholic. And I wanted to make sure, and the only way to make sure you're an alcoholic is just keep drinking. And you'll find out. If you're not sure, just keep drinking. That's what I had to do. You know, one time, my story's not in order, but it doesn't matter. One time I was in a detox for 2 or 3 days, and I got out of there, and I'd read the big book while I was there. And it said something in there about being a heavy drinker. And I said, well, that's all I am, just a heavy drinker. Then I read in the big book there, it said, if you want to find out if you're an alcoholic or not, just go to the bar, see if you can just have one drink. And I said, I got to do that. I can try that. So I go in this bar, and I order one drink, and I drink it. I turn around, and I walk out. I said, you know what? I'm sure glad I'm not an alcoholic. I'm glad I found that out. So I drove down the street about a mile and went to another bar and got drunk because I wasn't an alcoholic. Well, that's the kind of stuff I used to do. I used to do stuff like that. You know, I've been probably in 4 or 5 treatment centers and mental hospitals and stuff. There was a period earlier where I was still working, and I had insurance, and then I had other insurance, and I found I could go to these places and get dried out and take a little break and lay around in swimming pools for 30 days and bullshit a bunch of people, and insurance pay for it. And then I'd turn another claim in, and they'd pay me, so I could make money by going into a treatment center. So I'd do that once in a while. And then I'd get out, maybe stay sober for a couple of days, and then I'd be off again. But I'd do crazy stuff like that. And, you know, one time, I don't know, I still to this day don't know how this happened, but I was pretty drunk just one morning, and some people come and picked me up and took me way out in the country to a detox. And I was out there for a couple of days. And then I started tearing the place up. And they gave me some kind of a shot in my arm. They put me to sleep just like that. So I woke up the next morning and I had to get the hell out of there, so I took off, you know. And I had some kind of a reaction to this drug that they'd give me or whatever it was. I started swallowing my tongue. My tongue's going down my throat, and I thought I'd die. And I had to run to the hospital and explain to a doctor what I'd done. You know, it was kind of embarrassing that I'd done all this stuff. And so he had to call this place and find out what to give me to stop that. So anyway, that's just something I'd done once. I don't know if it makes any sense. Anyway, where was I? I went to the trade school and started working. You know, I'd done pretty good for probably a few years. I just get drunk at night, you know, just take the edge off, just 8 or 10 beers, a couple quarts, whatever. I thought 2 quarts of beer was just to quench my thirst, that's all. And I done serious drinking on the weekends. And I got by with that. I got picked up for drinking and driving a few times, and I went to jail a couple times, just short periods, just minor things. I said, you know, I'm just having a good time you know, I'm just being a little ornery. It's no big problem. But you know, there's always something bothered. I always felt bothered, though. I mean, I never felt comfortable. I was always scared of people or mad at people or just uncomfortable being in the world is the way I felt. And, you know, so I drank beer for a lot of years. And then it just got to be so much trouble to have that much beer around. To carry that much beer around and have it every evening, I just switched over like the, you know, the third chapter from beer to brandy or whiskey, you know. So whiskey was a lot quicker, a lot simpler, you know. So for several years, without even knowing it, I would just drink for oblivion. I was able to go to work, get off work, and just drink, and then go to bed early because I'd just pass out and get up the next morning and still kind of have a buzz and make it. And I thought, you know, I'm really in good shape to be able to live like this. You know, it's hard to do, but I was doing it. And I got away with that for several years. And then things started going wrong. You know, the older I got, instead of getting smarter, I started getting dumber. I started making dumb decisions and getting in a lot of trouble and getting into marriages that didn't work. You know, I had to do everything twice. I couldn't just get married once wrong. I had to do it twice, so it didn't work out. And I would get good jobs, and I would just quit for no reason. I'd go to work, and I'd have a hangover, and maybe somebody would say good morning, and I'd say, well, you can go take that attitude. I'm quitting, or something like that, you know. So I just kept thinking, you know, I got all this potential. I'm going to be okay, but later, not right now. Later, it'll be okay later. I'll go ahead and drink now and do this now. And I got these bills to pay, but I make good money. I'll pay them later. You know, always going to do stuff later. Always going to catch up later. Well, you know, later came, you know. So it took me 10 years after my first meeting before I got sober. So I got 10 years sobriety, and I could have 20. But, you know, I just took what it took, and I had to do what I had to do. So it doesn't matter. I'm just glad that I'm here now. You know, one time when I was married to my first wife, she was working nights, so I was at home drinking. And my head's thinking all this stuff that's going on. I know she was out there running around on me, and I knew this was wrong, and I just drive myself crazy for no reason. Just drive myself crazy. So I go to pick her up from work, and we're coming home, and there's about, have to drive down the freeway about 10 or 12 miles. And I remember I had a new pickup back then. And so I decided I'm going to commit suicide and take her with me. I just went crazy. So I'm going down this freeway, and I'm over on the shoulder, and I got them little flags that are plastic, and I'm hitting them. They're going like that underneath the truck. And about a mile down the road, I know there's this big cement pillar, and I'm going to run into it. Then I'm thinking, God, you know, I didn't say I'm going to do it. I guess I'll have to do it. So I'm driving just past that truck will go, and I guess God was with me because I run out of gas. I run out of gas. So, you know, I thought the next morning, and I said, you know, you kind of got a drinking problem. Maybe you ought to do something about it, you know. So in order to look good in front of her, I had to do something because I was so embarrassed. I had to do something. I said, well, I better go to AA. So I called AA, and they come and got me and went to a few meetings. And I went to a few AA meetings. She went to Al-Anon. They straightened her out, and she divorced me and left. That's what really happened. And I went back out and got drunk. Yeah. I remember when she came home after about the fourth Al-Anon meeting, she said, this ain't going to work anymore. So I'm glad that she got help. And I can't remember what I done then. You know, I just blamed everybody and everything, and I just went on and went to two or three more nut houses and different things. And then tried to get sober one time. And then I met another gal, and I thought, well, I'll get married. Done the same thing that I'd done before. But what happened different was, about that time, it was about the time I moved out here, and she came with me, and anyway, I had a few days of sobriety at one time. Now, remember this one night, I got off work, and this just sticks in my mind. There's a thousand other times it happened the same way, but this one time just really sticks in my mind. I was working, and everybody on the job was picking on me. It was their fault. Nothing was right. You know, it was the whole world. It wasn't me. It was the whole world. I said, I need a couple of drinks just to take the edge off. I said, I'm not going to drink whiskey. I'll just get some brandy because it's not quite as strong. I'm just going to have one drink, so I'll buy a quart. Yeah. And I remember stopping, knowing I shouldn't be doing it. I remember taking a couple of drinks. Yeah. And that's all I wanted to do, just have a couple of drinks. Next thing I knew, the whole bottle was gone. And I went home for no reason. terrified that poor woman, run her up and down the street. She went and got the cops. I tore the whole house up like a fool, and I'm laying on top of a table, something like that, and the table's busted. I'm laying flat on my back, and the cops come in, and they said, "Is there a problem here?" And I said, "No, there's no problem here." That tells me I'm an alcoholic. I was going to have one drink, and there's no problem here, and I just wrecked everything I had. I lost my paycheck that night, and that woman had the power to either send me to jail or not send me to jail. I'd give up everything with one drink. You know, I drank a little while after that. But after what I'd heard at the few meetings I'd been to and after what I'd been through, you know, I started really giving this thing, thinking about this, that I'm truly an alcoholic. And so I ended up in another hospital. And those people told me there, they said, "You know," he said, "there's, you've been around so long and done so much stuff, so there's nothing we can really do for you. We're just going to have to send you home because you're just hopeless." But luckily, there was one guy who worked there in this place, and he was an alcoholic. And he sent me down and talked to me. And it was the first time in my life I ever got honest. I talked to this guy. And I'm not ashamed of this today. We sat in this room, we talked, and I finally told him just the simplest thing. I said, "You know," I said, "that booze is killing me. I just can't take it anymore." You know, and he opened up his arms, and I cried on that guy's shoulder. I cried on his shoulder. And I haven't had a drink since that day. We went and got a big book. I put my sobriety date on the front page and signed my name on it, and I still got the same sobriety date. I still got the same big book. I got tape around the back of it. But I'm so grateful that I'm sober. And, you know, my life was so much different. I have peace of mind. I used to go to meetings and I'd see those signs, serenity, peace of mind. I didn't have any of that ever. And today I have peace of mind and serenity. And, you know, and I'm able to do the things that I've always wanted to do, and the promises are starting to come true for me. I'm not just saying they are, they're really coming true for me. I don't have a lot financial, but I'm happy with what I have. I live in Lake Elsinore, and I got 2 dogs and 3 cats in an old mobile home, and I've never been so happy in my life. Yeah, I got a pickup that's getting so old, it's almost a classic. And, you know, and to come down here, this is the biggest thrill of my life, to come down here and see you guys. To be able to stand up here and tell you that I'm sober, and I'm glad I'm sober. You know, if you'd have knew me 10 years ago, I'm not the same person. You know, you wonder what, I come to a place like this, I wonder what I'm going to say. You know, God tells me what to say. You know, I don't know if I really believed in God or not when I got here, but I do now. You know, I believe in God today. My sponsor used to tell me, he said, "You don't have to believe in God, just believe in that I believe in him." You know, and I believe that. And now I believe in God. You know, because I know that God done for me what I can't do for myself. And all I done was just gave up. I didn't do anything special. Apparently, I just gave up. Said, "I cannot spend the rest of my life with this belligerent, stubborn attitude that I had." And I'm so relieved that I found the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank you for listening to me. And God bless every one of you. Thank you.